When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
So there's a story coming out. Well, it started out last week, but we now know that the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl will feature Army.
Wait, the what?
The Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. Independence Bowl is a classic bowl.
No, I know, okay? But what's Radiance Technology?
The sponsor of the Independence Bowl.
But what's it do?
I don't know. Do I care.
Well, the purpose.
What's it do? It sponsors a bowl game.
The purpose of being a sponsor for such a big event is so your name can get out there.
Well, you now
and
know.
Your product can get out there.
You now know.
Research to find out what it.
You now know that Radiance Technologies exist, which is more than you knew about Radiance Technologies 30 seconds ago. So far, mission accomplished. Louisiana Tech will step in and replace the Marshall Thundering Herd. Marshall is out after officials notified bowl officials that they would not participate following a wave of players entering the transfer portal in the wake of a coaching change. Independence Bowl Executive Director Missy Setters said in a statement, quote, "It is unfortunate that Marshall determined they won't be able to compete in a bowl in a couple of weeks. Our goal was to create the best matchup possible for our local fans and college football fans throughout the country, and we think we did that with two conference champions. Moving forward, we are very excited to host Louisiana Tech and are thrilled we found an opponent for Army." Sunbelt Commish Keith Gill issued a statement apologizing for the, quote, nature and timing, end quote, of the announcement and for the, quote, turmoil, end quote, it has brought to bowl preparations for Army and all concerned parties. Here is the story. Marshall coach Charles Huff left for the head coaching position at Southern Miss. Now, all we know for a fact is that Huff and Marshall had been going back and forth on contract negotiations for some time. They could not reach an agreement, and so Huff said, bleep this, I'm out, and took his talents down to Southern Miss in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which is a lovely little community. I've been to Hattiesburg a couple of times.
Is it really?
Nice little school, nice little town, little southern charming town in Mississippi.
How many watering holes did you visit?
A handful. My little cousin went to Southern Miss. She was a Golden Eagle for a hot minute. And it's not a bad little school. Anyway, that's what we know, and that is all that we know. However, speculation going around right now. The speculation going around right now is that Marshall was going to make an offer or did make an offer to Coach Huff that would have made him around the third highest paid assistant coach in the conference. They were not going to pay him to put him, despite relative success with Marshall. They were not going to pay him even in the realm of the top half of head coaches in that conference. And so because of that, he was a little insulted. This is the story going around right now. He was a little insulted, and he decided, yep, bleep this, I'm out, and took a job elsewhere. Well, when he did, a bunch of players decided to follow him. And so Marshall lost north of 25 players to the transfer portal, decimated their roster to the point that they said, yo, we can't play in the bowl game, and they bailed out of it. There is only in this group, there is only one group of people that I actually feel sorry for, and that's the Thundering Herd players who did stay. The Thundering Herd players who are staying on board, the Thundering Herd players who will be on a team that was supposed to be in a bowl game and now are not. I do feel bad for those players, okay? The same way that I feel bad for employees of a business when an employee leaves that business to take a better job somewhere else. We have all been in that spot before where you work for a company and a coworker leaves to take another job that is a better job for them somewhere else. And what inevitably happens is the manager comes one day and they go, hey, Sarah left us for another job. And so while we look to fill that position, unfortunately, we are going to have to ask all of you to take on some of Sarah's responsibilities. And all of a sudden, everybody else in the office gets a bunch of added job responsibilities they didn't sign up for, but they have to get done. It sucks.
I think
nobody likes it.
Use the name Mark in that thing.
When Marshall leaves the job, somebody's got to do Marshall's job. And that falls on everybody else. It's happened to all of us at some point. I feel bad for them kids that are staying on Marshall's team but are not going to get to go play in a bowl game because their head coach left and took half the roster with him in the transfer portal. This doesn't talk me off the transfer portal. All right? Does it suck for them kids? Yes, it does. Just like it sucks for the kids who signed up to play for their coach, Charles Huff, who then saw the school not be willing to give Charles Huff the money that Charles Huff should have gotten. And obviously that's subjective, whether or not he deserved what he was asking for. There are plenty of people who ask for money that is unrealistic for the job that they do, and so they take off to go somewhere else. All right. So whether or not the Marshall Thundering Herd did the right thing by not giving Charles Huff money that would have made him one of the highest paid coaches in the Sun Belt is irrelevant. All that matters is he gone. And kids that signed up to go play for him, they gone too. It sucks for the kids still on the roster, but it doesn't talk me off the transfer portal. It is not enough of an argument to say, oh, there's, you know, 25, 40, 50 kids on the roster who are disappointed they don't get to play in the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, that we should take away the kids' rights to do, you know, exactly what the coach just did and say, I'm not getting enough to be here. I'm not getting what I think I am worth to be here. I'm not getting what I want out of this job, so I'm out. None of you are going to be mad at Charles Huff. Well, some of you might be. I don't know. Not a lot of people are going to be mad at Charles Huff for leaving the job. But you will be mad at the kids for going, nah, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be a part of this. It is what it is. I don't care. It sucks for them kids. I don't care. All right, let me get Kevin in here. We got John Blau with the Post and Courier up next. So let me get Kevin in before he has to wait through the break. Kev, welcome back to the show, big fella. Good to have you.
My dogs. Hey, man, let me tell you something. That five-hour trip for Tennessee up to Ohio State, you think all that orange is not going to go up through that thing in Rocky Top the whole 5 hours and 8 minutes that it take to get there? Like, they're going up there on a mission, man. They are going on a mission, and they're trying to pull this upset, and I'm rolling with them, man. I am rolling with them, boys.
It is going to be a very interesting game. Ohio State, by the way, favored by 7.5 points. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not picking them, the Tennessee Volunteers, to outright win. I will take Tennessee plus 7.5. You're giving me the hook off that touchdown. I'll absolutely take that because this Tennessee team behind it, this is going to be, and I mean this is going to be the best quarterback that Ohio State's played this year. And Nico Iamalava, I'm so close. I'm going to get it one day.
Are you sure you're close?
I am Ali Abed. There it is. I just did it. I just did it.
Yeah, nobody heard it.
Nico's the best quarterback this team will have played this year, and Tennessee's got the ability not just to run the ball behind Dylan Sampson, but they can get the ball down the field through the air. This is going to be arguably the most balanced, explosive team Ohio State's played. I like Tennessee plus the 7.5, if not the outright win. I'm not ready to go there yet, Kev, but you're on top of everything else. Tennessee fans are feeling themselves a little bit right now.
They own it. And so let me tell you something else. So the little $16 million that we found automatically up here in North Carolina since the hoodie is coming on down, and you know, I'm tall here inside and out. I'm ready to see how this is. I want to know who his hype man is going to be, because the way these college kids go now, you need somebody that they can relate to and talk to and just going to have a good time. Now, don't get me wrong, old hoodie got a 24-year-old girlfriend, so he might know some things we don't know. So I'm just ready to see what's going to happen.
I don't disagree. I mean, listen, I've said from the beginning, and Kev, I appreciate the phone call, brother. Thanks for checking in. We got a run. We got John Blau coming up here in a minute. I don't disagree. Remember, Deion's first appearance as the head coach of a Buffalo in-game, in charge of the Buffaloes in-game, what'd he do? He had Lil Wayne wrap the boys up out the tunnel. Man, if you're an 18-year-old kid and Deion calls and goes, hey, not only are you getting coached by one of the most infamous players in NFL history, but I'm going to have Lil Wayne wrap you up out the tunnel, that's exciting. That's hype, man. What's Hoodie do? Does Hoodie even do that? Does Hoodie go, no, we ain't doing none of that. We're an NFL team now. And does that work? If so, this is going to be an interesting little experiment. All right, John Blau for the Post and Courier talks Clemson, Texas next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. To the shock of absolutely no one, because we have been looking forward to this weekend for a couple of years now, the college football playoffs get started this weekend and this Saturday at 4 p.m. from Austin, Texas. The 12th-seeded Clemson Tigers take on the 5th-seeded Texas Longhorns, and it is going to be for the opportunity to move on and take on the Big 12 champs, the team of the bye, the 4-seed, the Arizona State Sun Devils. Camp Scataboo waiting for the winner of this one, but it is a massive contest. And to break it down, to talk a little Clemson, Texas, every single Monday morning at 8:40 a.m., we are joined from the Post and Courier by a young man who covers the Tiger Athletic Department. John Blau joins us here on the show. John, welcome to College Football Playoff Week, buddy. How we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Rob?
Doing very well. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's dive right in on this one, John Blau. The Clemson Tigers are the biggest underdog in the opening round of the playoffs. As of right now, that line's set at 11.5. That's the spread. Clemson going in as a dog. Let's go with the 30,000-foot view right out of the gate. What does Clemson need to do on the road, hostile environment, to prove that they belonged in this thing and make this thing a contest?
You got to play up to the level of a team like Georgia, which Clemson couldn't play at that level, the opener, because obviously Georgia's the only team that beat Texas. They beat them twice. And so if you look at the stats of that game, the one thing Georgia was able to do is stop Texas's running game. I think Texas averaged 188 yards per game in their 11 wins. They averaged 30 per game against Georgia. So, the one knock, if you look at Texas, that's kind of been developing on Clemson Twitter, is just that Texas really hasn't played anybody. It's kind of odd to say, but they played the bottom seven teams in the SEC, and they played, I think, a team that's in the bottom nine, that's Texas A&M. And so, and obviously the one elite team they played, Georgia, they lost to twice. And so if you can play to the level of a Georgia, you're going to play to the level of a team that could beat Texas. And so obviously Clemson was not able to do that, not even close in the opener. You got to see kind of in this game how improved of a team Clemson really is.
John Blau joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. What's a realistic expectation for Clemson's offense? I mean, this kind of feels like a game that I'd like to see a balanced football team. I'd like to see Cade Klubnik have a run game behind him that kind of keeps the field open and honest for him. What are your expectations? What do we see out of the Riley offense?
It really depends on how healthy Phil Mafah is. I mean, that's kind of been the narrative that we're going back a couple weeks, just in the ACC title game, even in the South Carolina game. Just not a guy you can really lean on. Just I think he's had a shoulder injury. It's just kind of made him not as effective in the running game. We don't know if Jay Haynes is healthy. So really, how much can you run the ball to have more of a balanced attack? Do you trust a freshman like David Iziamume, who hasn't played much this year, maybe to get some more carries? It's really going to be fascinating to see what they do, just because, again, the run game really hasn't been as effective in the last few weeks. Do you just air it out? Do you like Kay Klubnik, who is seems to be one of your best offensive options, get to one of your best players in Antonio Williams, a couple of freshman receivers who really aren't freshmen anymore. They've been through a whole season, and Brian Wesco and T.J. Moore, do you lean on them? Or do you try to be balanced? Is a Phil Mafah more fresh because he's had a week off and kind of more in position to take contact and run with some aggressiveness? We just don't know. So, I mean, that is an open question. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how balanced Garrett Riley is in this game. If he tilts one direction or the other, if Phil Mafah isn't healthy, I would expect him maybe to air it out a little bit more.
Quinn Ewers, obviously, quarterbacking the Longhorns in this one. The last two quarterbacks that gave the Clemson Tiger defense a problem were obviously a pair of guys that were very mobile, Lenora Sellers in the South Carolina game, Kevin Jennings in the SMU game. Though Jennings never really leaned on the legs, they were there when Clemson was taking away passes. Quinn Ewers not necessarily as mobile as either one of those two guys. So do you think the intensity, the pressure is dialed up by the defense this weekend?
A little bit, if you can. I mean, this kind of compares a little bit to Tyler Shuck in the Louisville game. Obviously, Louisville, what they were able to do is run the ball on you. And so that's how they were able to really open things up for Tyler Shuck and win that game and pretty handily. So it all comes back to, can you stop the run first? And then can you put Quinn Ewers in some situations where you can get some pass rush on them? Obviously, Clemson really has one guy. And this is where, if you look back to the offseason, if you're Clemson, you might have a little regret that you didn't add another pass rusher defensive end, because is Texas able to take away a T.J. Parker, doubling him, chipping him? Are you able to get any pass rush out of a Cade Denhoff or a Jaheim Lawson or an A.J. Hawthorne on that other side, which hasn't been there all year? But this is definitely a less mobile guy, a guy who's, I don't want to say a statue back there, but definitely a guy that you can pin your ears back and get some rush on him. I mean, that's what also makes it interesting. Do they bring out Arch Manning at all, who has a little bit more of a capability with his legs, or is it all Quinn Ewers? But, I mean, this is a guy you get some pressure on, but again, it starts with stopping the run, putting him in some second and third and long situations, and then hopefully you can get some rush and maybe bring some blitzes through Wes Goodwin to kind of get some pressure on Ewers and make him make some bad decisions.
We are talking with John Blau. He covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. Joins us every Monday morning at 8:40 a.m. to talk Clemson ball with us. Clemson getting set to go on the road and take on Austin, in Austin, take on the Texas Longhorns this weekend. We talk about the run game, John, and some issues being thin there with some of the injuries to Mafah and other guys. If Clemson is obligated to throw the ball, they can't get the run game going. Have you seen enough development the last few weeks out of the wide receiver core that you trust they'll be providing the targets to Kay Klubnik that he'll need?
I guess. Clemson's been so up and down offensively. I mean, even in that SMU game, again, they get up 31-14, and they kind of stall out for most of that fourth quarter. So it's hard to say anything definitive about Clemson's offense, but we have seen at times, Brian Wesco make some explosive plays in that first half against SMU. T.J. Moore is a guy who's certainly capable and done it at times. It's asking a lot for a couple. Again, they aren't quite freshmen anymore because they have a season under their belt, but a couple guys that are true freshmen to go on the road at Texas in a CFP game and be the guys you lean on. But, I mean, that's maybe what you're asking of these guys. Usually it's as sophomores and juniors where you really see these receivers take another jump. But, I mean, it's possible. I mean, I think you can lean on them. Antonio Williams, I mean, he's a guy who's obviously a guy you can lean on, a redshirt sophomore. He's had a great year. Maybe try to feed him a little bit, whether it's down the field, maybe some of that short stuff. some reverses, try to get him moving horizontally, see if he can make some plays. But, yeah, I mean, I do think you need to be able to run the ball at Texas. I don't think just absolutely airing it out 100% is going to make it a very easy situation, especially because they can get the pass rush on him. You know, they have some guys on the edge. But, you know, again, it's going to be really fascinating to see where Phil Maffa is and the health of that running back room.
Get a little bit of an opinion from you here, John Blau. We've got a commenter watching on our live stream right now, Matt Kraft, who said, quote, "I believe when the team is meshed and playing well and Dabo's had a few weeks to prepare for an opponent, he already knows that's when Dabo has his best moments." Is this a, this does kind of feel like a legacy spot for Dabo Swinney. They're the most doubted team in the first round, at least according to the Vegas spread right now. How do you feel about Dabo Swinney having more experience than Steve Sarkisian does in a spot like this? Having some opportunities to play in these caliber big games in the past, is this a spot where Dabo can kind of maybe add on to his legacy at Clemson a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you win the game, you absolutely add to your legacy. It would be a tremendous victory to beat a team like Texas on the road in the first expanded playoff, to get back to the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, play a team like Arizona State. And obviously a lot of people are down in Clemson right now because they're the first three-loss team to ever make the playoff. And so I know I saw Dabo Swinney, I think that was right after the ACC title game. He was recorded by his video staff at Clemson saying, somebody's got to be the first three-loss national champion. Why not us? I mean, he's kind of embracing the fact that, again, they're underdogs, that a lot of people don't expect the team that's had the struggles they've had at different parts of this year to be able to make a run. I mean, he's absolutely embraced that. Again, going back to little old Clemson, he loves being the underdog. So this is absolutely something they can. Again, whether they actually do is another question. You talk about, more time to prepare. I mean, came off a bye week and lost Louisville pretty bad. So, I mean, this past year they didn't exactly utilize that time to be able to be ready to play and win a game. So that'll be interesting to see if they're, in a different, they play different coming off the bye and they have a good game plan and whether they're ready to, take advantage of that extra time.
John Blau with the Post and Courier here on the Rob Brown Show. Last one, and we'll let you go, John. But it's the one we always end on when we have a game like this one. Clemson goes in as an 11.5-point dog, and they upset the Texas Longhorns if blank.
If they stop their running game. Again, it's just a really clear contrast between Texas' wins and their losses against Georgia. Again, they could not run the ball at all, and they run the ball for nearly 200 yards per game in every other game. So Clemson has had some ups and downs in terms of stopping the run. I mean, you think about the Virginia Tech game, they were able to really hold that team down, a team that averages about 200 yards per game rushing, and they won that game. But there's been some other games, again, Louisville, you think of, where teams have been able to run the ball on Clemson. So is that Clemson rush defense ready? Is DeMonte Capehart is able to get back to South Carolina? Is he more healthy? Is the linebacker core ready to plug those gaps and be disciplined? If they're able to stop the run of Texas, I think they give themselves a much better chance of winning this game.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier, joins us here every Monday at 8:40. And next Monday morning, we will either be previewing Clemson Arizona State or doing a postmortem on the season. We will find out 1 week from today. John, my man, thank you so much for coming by, buddy. Enjoy the game, and we'll break it down with you on Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from the Post and Courier, again, every Monday morning at 8:40, comes by and talks a little Clemson ball. Every hour, at the end of the hour, Lonzo grabs that sheet of paper, he hits that button over there that turns his microphone on, and he delivers to you the most important sports stories of the day as he just blows your mind with the best sports flash in the country.
Two of the top teams in the NFL played yesterday, with the Buffalo Bills defeating the Detroit Lions 48-42. Josh Allen threw for 362 yards and two touchdowns and rushed for two more. And James Cook added 105 yards and two more scores on the ground. Jared Goff threw for five touchdowns and 494 yards in a losing effort as Detroit rushed for only 48 total yards. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes left a 21-7 victory over Cleveland in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury and said after the game he's unsure of his status for Saturday's matchup against Houston. Mahomes also said he believed he could have returned to the game, but with a lead, felt it was smart to let backup Carson Wentz finish the game. Tune in on Saturday at 2:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Harvard Crimson. It's Furman versus Harvard right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate.